The following episode of Lyrics of Their Life podcast deals with serious issues such as drug references, sexual references, and violence that may be distressing to some listeners. It is not suitable for children. Listener discretion is advised. Hello and welcome back to Lyrics of Their Life, the podcast that talks about the extraordinary lives lived by those that wrote or perform the songs we know and love. I'm your host Adam Hampton, and in today's episode, we wrap up the incredible story of the one and only Meat Loaf. When we left off in part 3, Meat Loaf was back on top of the world after his unlikely comeback with Bat Out of Hell 2, and the global smash hit, I'd Do Anything for Love, But I Won't Do That. In this final chapter, we journey through the closing years of his career and his life, leading up to his untimely passing in 2022, as we celebrate the larger-than-life legacy he left behind after one unforgettable ride. So, without further ado, let's get straight into it. This is the story of Meat Loaf, Part 4. This is Lyrics of Their Life.
Prince has died at the age of 57.
This is it.
Sorry, Gary, but I was always the talented member of the band.
Keep booing, little girl. I will hit a man with glasses.
I'm really happy for you. I'm gonna let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time.
Former Beatle John Lennon, who was 40, was shot and killed last night outside his luxury apartment in New York.
Has-beens shouldn't present fucking awards to gonna be's.
Leave Britney alone!
At the peak of Meat Loaf's comeback during the mid-90s, he would be voted the 10th sexiest male in Playgirl magazine and classed as a rock and roll sex symbol. Meanwhile, in 1995, Jim Steinman focused on his own projects, working with the likes of Watershed, Take That, and of course Bonnie Tyler. Then, on the 30th of October, 1995, 2 years since the release of Bat Out of Hell 2, Meat Loaf would release his 7th studio album, titled Welcome to the Neighbourhood. Jim Steinman, however, would opt out of being involved on this album's production, and he was replaced by Sammy Hagar, Ron Nevison, Stephen Van Zandt, and Meat Loaf himself, with prolific songwriter Diane Warren writing 3 of the 12 tracks on the album. The theme of the album focused on a relationship changing over the course of a number of years, which plays out in order of each track from 1 to 12. Welcome to the Neighbourhood would peak at number 3 in the UK, 4 in Scotland, 10 in Australia, Germany and Switzerland, and 17 in the US. And while it didn't come close to the success of Bat 2, it did manage to go platinum in the US and UK. While Steinman's absence was definitely felt, the album included some strong tracks, such as Runnin' for the Red Light, which made it to number 2 on the UK rock and metal chart, and Not a Dry Eye in the House, which rose to number 7 in the UK on their mainstream chart. However, it only made it to number 82 in the US on the Hottest 100, and would sadly be the final Meat Loaf track ever to chart in the US for the remainder of his career. With Rolling Stone magazine giving the album just 1.5 stars out of 5, while NME rated it 4 out of 10. The lead single, titled I'd Lie For You and That's The Truth, would become the album's most successful single, charting at number 1 in Scotland, 2 in the UK, 7 in Australia, and 13 in the US, and would feature Patty Russo on co-lead vocals. Pearla Day would make her first appearance on her adoptive father's album, providing backing vocals on tracks like I'd Die For You, Runnin' For The Red Light, and Where The Rubber Meets The Road. During 1996, Jim Steinman was said to have been in the works to bring Bat Out Of Hell to the theatre scene once again, just like in the 70s with his futuristic Neverland idea, which was going to be called Bat Out Of Hell 2100. The production was set to feature a range of different vocalists, excluding Meatloaf, as demos were even recorded and a script was even said to have been leaked to the public. However, the project failed to get off the ground. Instead, Steinman would turn his focus to working with Celine Dion, where yet another song he wrote, titled It's All Coming Back To Me Now, would become a huge hit, reaching number 1 in Canada, 2 in the US, 3 in the UK, and 8 in Australia, while also earning Jim a BMI Award for Song of the Year. As Jim would continue on producing and writing for Celine Dion, Boyzone, Tina Arena, and for the films The Mask of Zorro, the animated film Anastasia, and for the poorly received Andrew Lloyd Webber musical Whistle Down the Wind. Steinman would next begin work on a musical adaptation of Batman based off of the comic books, with quirky director Tim Burton set to direct the musical. However, Warner Brothers decided to cancel it at the last minute. During 1998, Meatloaf would be a busy man, starring in 4 films, including Gunshire, Black Dog, The Mighty, and Outside Ozona. While just a year earlier, in 1997, Meatloaf appeared in the cringy Spice World film as the Spice Girls bus driver. When asked during the film if he would unclog the toilet on the bus, Meatloaf would deliver the one memorable line, as he said, "Listen, I love these girls and I'll do anything for them, but I won't do that." With Meatloaf going on to claim that the Spice Girls movie was the one movie that he regretted being a part of. Around this time, Meatloaf also made a bunch of TV show appearances, including as himself in South Park, his story was featured on VH1's Behind the Music, and he starred in Dead Man's Gun and Nash Bridges. Meatloaf's home life had also been quite busy over the years, as he and his family had moved around multiple times since the 80s to different towns around Connecticut, such as Stamford, Westport, Reading, and Fairfield, where Meatloaf also coached Amanda's baseball team at Joel Barlow High School. Then, in 1998, Meatloaf and his wife Leslie purchased a $1.6 million home in the Mandeville Canyon area of California, where they settled in as a family, with Amanda now age 17, and Pearl moving out and on with her life at the age of 23. Pearl's education had mostly been in public schools, attending Joel Barlow High School in Connecticut, despite also attending the private Emerson College in Boston, where she studied creative writing. Amanda, on the other hand, appeared to have many more opportunities, attending the private school Idlewild Arts Academy in LA, where Amanda's interest in dance, theatre and acting saw her attend the Stage Door Manor Performing Arts Camp in the Catskill Mountains, located in the Appalachian Forest, southeast of New York. By the end of 1998, Pearl would become a fully fledged member of Meatloaf's touring band, the Neverland Express, providing her backing vocals as Meat practically toured from 1995 through to 1999. During 1999, Meatloaf would make some of his biggest film appearances to date, starring as a racist hillbilly sheriff named John Doggett in Crazy in Alabama, which also happened to feature Amanda Adai as an assistant, while he also appeared in a smaller role in the film Fight Club, starring alongside Brad Pitt, with Meat appearing as the character Robert Big Bob Paulson, a soft-spoken former bodybuilder who once shot himself full of steroids and now is divorced with two estranged children. But what makes him stand out from the rest are his two large man breasts, making for one hell of a memorable character. During the film, Meatloaf wore a heavy-breasted suit that weighed around 72 pounds in total, which he says enlightened him, as it allowed him to feel how painful it must be for a woman to carry them around all day. While he also claims that everyone on set wanted to squeeze or cuddle his breasts all the time. Meatloaf also went on to appear in TV shows like The Outer Limits and Trapped, and in the films Focus, The Salton Sea, Wishcraft, and The 51st State, starring Samuel L. Jackson. During 2001, 20-year-old Amanda Adai was now off at private college, majoring in theatre at the California Institute of the Arts, as well as doing some acting in TV and films on the side. And Pearl was now in her mid-20s, performing as a solo artist and as a backup singer for her father and for Motley Crue. But sadly, as many couples do when the babies leave the nest, Meatloaf and Leslie would sadly drift apart and decided to get a divorce, selling their home in LA for $3.6 million before going their separate ways. The main reason for the divorce was said to have come down to Meatloaf's inability to balance his work, music, acting, and touring with his home life, with the couple's relationship falling apart after 24 years together. As Meat claimed, he was, quote, "In some ways, yes, I'm married to my work, and it creates tension sometimes in a relationship." As Meat put the divorce behind him, he continued to tour, and then, on the 21st of April 2003, Meatloaf would release his 8th studio album, under Mercury and Sanctuary Records, titled Couldn't Have Said It Better, which was once again produced without any input from Jim Steinman, who was busy on his own projects. The album became Meatloaf's third to not feature Steinman in any capacity, while it was also the first album released by Meatloaf in around 7 to 8 years. With a limited budget, the album would struggle to sell in the US, only coming in at number 85. However, it was far more popular in the UK and Scotland, where it peaked at number 4, as it limped into number 28 in Australia, where its popularity had also started to trend downwards. Critics would once again rate the album harshly. Two singles titled Man of Steel, featuring Pearl Adai on vocals, and Did I Say That, were commercial flops. However, the track Couldn't Have Said It Better, which was co-written by James Michael and Motley Crue's Nikki Sixx, was a hit on the UK rock chart, peaking at number 1 and number 31 on the mainstream chart in the UK. The track Man of Steel was also co-written by James Michael and Nikki Sixx, as Meatloaf explained, quote, "My daughter Pearl was out on tour with Motley Crue, and people said to me, 'You let your daughter go on tour with Motley Crue?' I said, 'She's a big girl, 26 at the time, she can make up her own mind.' But I did scare Nikki Sixx when I went to see the show. I approached him in my best bad guy movie role after he'd just come off stage. I said, 'Let's go in this other room, 'cause you and me are going to talk about what you have my daughter wearing, right now.' He went white, like an English suntan. He started stuttering at me trying to explain that she picked it out and he had nothing to do with it, and then I just grinned at him. He kept saying to Pearl she should do a duet with me. He decided as a surprise, he called James Michael, who was writing already for this record, and said, 'Let's write a song for Pearl and her dad to sing together.' That was Man of Steel, and they sent it to me, and everybody got really mad at me, because I wouldn't listen to it for 9 or 10 weeks. During late 2003, Meatloaf set off on his sellout tour, called the Last World Tour, stopping off in Australia to perform during the pre-game show for the NRL Grand Final, between the Sydney Roosters and the victorious Penrith Panthers, as Meatloaf performed the typical hits such as Bat Out of Hell. However, he wouldn't be at his best this night, and technical issues at the start of his performance forced him to start all over again and threw him for the rest of the show. Next, Meatloaf headed off to the UK, where on the 17th of November 2003, he performed at a sold-out Wembley Arena in London. However, during the performance, Meatloaf started experiencing dizzy spells and told his bandmates he wasn't feeling too good at the beginning of I'd Do Anything for Love, right before collapsing at the very end of the song. It would later be confirmed that Meat had suffered a heart attack, as he said, quote, "My heart was going 238 beats per minute and I couldn't breathe." Meat ended up being rushed to hospital and was placed in the intensive care unit, where he was diagnosed with Wolff-Parkinson-White syndrome, which was actually carried from birth and is said to carry an extra electrical pathway within the heart, which can be triggered or brought on by stress, causing a rapid heartbeat. This was a very deadly situation, and Meatloaf would require immediate surgery. Meatloaf would later state about the incident that it was the worst thing that ever happened to him. But being the fighter that he is, determined to not let his fans down, once he recovered from his surgery, Meat got back out there straight away and attempted to make up for the shows that they had to cancel, by performing most of them again anyway. However, Meatloaf's insurance agency would step in and was believed to have limited how long he was able to perform for to 1 hour and 45 minutes maximum, as opposed to the previous 2.5 hour shows. During December 2003, while still in London, Meatloaf would sit down for an interview with The Guardian, where he explained that he often suffers from debilitating anxiety, stating, quote, "I never meet anybody much in a social situation, because when I go into a social situation, I have no idea what to do." Meatloaf claimed that at times, due to his anxiety, that he led a rather boring life outside of the performances, and that he didn't have many good friends, choosing to keep his wife and children close and not engaging in hangouts with work colleagues or bandmates, as it just wasn't his thing. While Meat continued by claiming that negative moments from his childhood likely contributed to his loneliness and anxiety, as he stated, quote, "Being too fat to play with the other children, I had to spend a lot of time alone, which probably has a lot to do with the way I am today. I'm usually alone in my hotel room from right after the show until the next day's sound check, and I'm never bored. I don't get bored, probably because mothers wouldn't let their kids play with me." In 2004, Meatloaf performed in Australia with the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra. He featured in the films A Hole in One, Chasing Ghosts, and Blood Rain, before heading out on the road once again for the Hair of the Dog tour from 2005 through to 2006. During this time, Meatloaf had actually reconnected with Jim Steinman once again, and the pair had decided to start working on a third Bat Out of Hell album. However, when Jim's health declined and he suffered a stroke and a heart attack as well, resulting in losing his ability to speak temporarily, those plans were put on hold. Meatloaf, however, started to grow impatient and planned to complete the album without Jim, hiring producer Desmond Child, known for producing hit songs for Kiss, Alice Cooper, Bon Jovi, and Aerosmith. Meatloaf himself would call his decision to move on without Jim, quote, selfish, but that he had to do it because he couldn't take the chance that Jim never gets better, or that he waits so long and misses the boat. Meatloaf went on to say that he himself is a loyal friend, but that, quote, the decision not to use Steinman has taken its toll on me. Jim Steinman's manager, David Sonnenberg, on the other hand, would later state in 2006 that, quote, Jim's health is excellent. That's not the reason he didn't participate in Bat 3. He had some meaningful health problems about 4 years ago, but he's been totally healthy the last couple of years. His health is no way impacted on his involvement in the Bat Out of Hell project. Meatloaf would hit another roadblock when his management discovered that Jim Steinman owned the trademark over the Bat Out of Hell phrase since 1995. Finding this ridiculous, Meatloaf and his management would take Jim Steinman and his management to court to remove the restriction on the phrase so that Meatloaf could use it for his ninth studio album, and in this case, they would be successful. While clearly this would have created a rift between Jim and Meat, Meatloaf told Dan Rather in an interview that there was never any bad blood between them and that it was mostly their managers going at it rather than them individually. As Meatloaf stated, quote, I consider him to be one of my best friends, but the real thing is about managers. I think Steinman's manager is the devil, and Steinman feels the same way about my manager. So, we had to communicate through managers, and he refused to sign some papers that would have allowed for the recording of Bat Out of Hell 3, without a hitch. So really, I didn't sue Jim Steinman, I sued his manager. During the recording process, Meatloaf started to really despise going into the studio, claiming on this album in particular that it was an unenjoyable experience, as he said, quote, it's like going to the dentist and having root canal every day, whereas you really have to be flat for people to notice it in a live show. In a studio, every nuance is under a microscope, and I'm a perfectionist. Meatloaf continued on in 2006 with the Bases Are Loaded tour, where during a hair-raising moment in his private jet, they had to make an emergency landing at London Stansted Airport as the plane's forward landing gear had begun to completely fail. Meat would also feature in the 2006 films Pleasure Drivers and Tenacious D in The Pick of Destiny, featuring Tenacious D band members Kyle Gass and Jack Black, which is a fantasy comedy film that focuses on a quest to find the Pick of Destiny, a magical guitar pick that belongs to Satan, which holds the key to turning an ordinary rocker into a rock star. As Meatloaf plays the role of Bud Black, as Jack Black's overbearing father, as he can be seen during one scene singing Kickapoo with Jack Black in his child form. On the 20th of October 2006, Meatloaf's ninth studio album would be released, titled Bat Out of Hell 3, The Monster Is Loose, becoming the first Bat Out of Hell album from the trilogy to not feature Jim Steinman, and the last album to be released under this title. The album cover artwork this time around would feature the large demonic bat creature from Bat 2, who is now on the attack, as the man on the motorcycle can be seen brandishing a sword, attempting to slay the beast. The album was once again heavily criticised, however, receiving just 2 out of 5 stars from Rolling Stone magazine. In the US, the album debuted at number 8 on the Billboard 200 after selling over 80,000 copies in just its first week. However, that's as high as it got. By the third week, it had completely dropped out of the top 50. Despite this, Meatloaf would once again be proven popular in Europe and the UK, reaching number 2 in Germany and Scotland, 3 in the UK and Canada, and Nine in Australia. Despite their recent court battle, Meat would also include 7 songs from the 14-track album that were written by Jim Steinman, with 5 of these being covers of previously released tracks by other artists, as this album sadly depicted that Meatloaf was running low on material. Despite the album boasting duets with Patty Russo and Jennifer Hudson, and collaborations with Steve Vai and Brian May, the singles from the album struggled significantly, with Cry Over Me and Blind as a Bat both failing to chart worldwide. The only saving grace was the lead single, titled It's All Coming Back to Me Now, a cover of the Jim Steinman classic that became a huge worldwide hit for Celine Dion. Meatloaf's version would feature Marion Raven as a duet and was a moving rendition that peaked at number 1 in Norway, 2 in Scotland, and 6 in the UK. The track would also make it to number 2 on the UK rock and metal chart, surprisingly of all charts, despite of course being a soft rock ballad, and would completely be overlooked in the US. Following the release of Bat Out of Hell 3, Meatloaf appeared in 2 more films called Urban Decay and History Rocks, and also embarked on his 22nd world tour called the Seize the Night Tour, performing around 112 shows across the world during 2007 alone. But the 2007 tour wasn't all sunshine and roses, as Meatloaf began to tussle with severe fatigue and health issues. Since January 2007, Meatloaf had been battling with a cyst on his vocal cords, which was affecting his voice, and during a performance on Halloween, the 31st of October 2007, at Newcastle upon Tyne's Metro Radio Arena in England, just an hour into his show, when he opened his mouth for the first time to sing, nothing was coming out, as he completely froze. Meatloaf claimed it was almost like a switch had been flicked as he looked out at the crowd and back at his band before saying into the microphone, "Thank you very much, it's been a wonderful career, and I'm sorry, but I have to leave the stage now, and I'm retired." Shocking his bandmates, Meatloaf abruptly walked off stage at the beginning of Paradise by the Dashboard Light and headed backstage, tossing his jacket to the side in a fit of anger and frustration, as he was upset by what had happened in front of all of his fans. He was embarrassed and felt like he had let them down. Meat claims he didn't leave his dressing room after the show until at least 3 a.m. in the morning, claiming he was that upset with himself that he couldn't face seeing anyone. Later, it would be discovered that Meatloaf was also battling severe fatigue and stress, along with the cyst on his vocal cords, and he had simply had enough. He had been pushed way too hard for a 60-year-old man with heart issues. Despite this, Meatloaf's tour promoter announced that Meatloaf would return once he was feeling fully fit again, and that he needed to rest, resulting in Meat's next 2 shows in Manchester being postponed. Adding to his woes, however, he would then develop laryngitis and plans for further European shows later in 2007 and into the new year of 2008 had to be cancelled, as the cyst on his vocal cords got progressively worse. Luckily for Meatloaf fans, during 2008, he started to get his voice back and changed his mind on his split-second retirement plans, resuming the Bat Out of Hell 3 tour well into 2008. Helping restore his vocals and manage a way around the cyst, Meatloaf would receive some help from a vocal coach named Eric Vitro to keep his voice perfect and strong. When interviewed by In The Now magazine, Meatloaf was asked, "What's the worst gig you've ever done?" with Meatloaf highlighting that it occurred during the horror year that was 2007, as he said, quote, In 2007, I was sick in Amsterdam, and four doctors told me not to go on. That was the worst show. I was running a fever of 103. I had an arena full of people though. They already paid to park their cars. I didn't want them to go through the hassle of getting a refund. There's no understanding in that situation though. Then in New Zealand last October, I was in the emergency room because I had a swollen vocal cord, and they told me not to go on. This was after the same thing happened to Adele. I didn't go on. However, all of this didn't happen until 5 o'clock. By the time we got back, they'd already opened the doors and the show was cancelled. Everyone was pissed, but we didn't know. You can't win when that stuff happens. There was a blood vessel protruding off the left vocal cord, and they were afraid it was going to really hemorrhage. There was a tiny bit of blood. I went and did the last two shows on that Australian tour. Then it took me all of November and most of December to get over the swollen vocal cord. I've done so many shows where I shouldn't have gone on. The audiences mean more to me than anything. 2007 was also a busy year for Meatloaf, as he also repartnered and married a woman named Deborah Gillespie from Edmonton, Canada, who Meat claimed is a very private person who wasn't a fan of the spotlight. Rumour has it that they even met when working together on the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra show back in 2004. Despite all the setbacks, during 2008, Meat managed 28 shows across the UK, US, Europe and Oceania, before filming television appearances in shows like House, Monk, Bookaboo, Citizen Jane and Ghost Hunters, where Meatloaf, being a big believer in the paranormal, conducted investigations with the crew. Meat remembers being interested in ghosts and the paranormal since he was a young child, as he revealed that the first story that he was ever told about ghosts was at his Uncle Carl's funeral, told by his grandmother. However, the first time that Meatloaf claims he ever saw a ghost was during the recording process for Bat Out of Hell during the late 70s, as he claimed to see a ghostly figure that looked just like a normal person, describing her as a blonde female teenager dressed in white that moved across the room and disappeared over the balcony. As he claimed, quote, "I went downstairs and told the guys, there's a groupie up on the balcony, and they go, how would she get up there? Everybody went up and no one was there." Meatloaf then described his second encounter at the Landmark Hotel in London at 6:30 in the morning, where a spirit of a man passed through his hotel room. Shocked, but able to make sense of what was going on, Meatloaf asked the spirit what he was doing, but he received no answer as the man passed through the wall. As he stated, quote, "I believe there's something when you die, because there are ghosts. I've seen them. I've been around them. Some are just energy left behind, and some are intelligent. I've had conversations with them using a K2 meter, which lets them answer yes or no. I chased one across the room once." During this period, Meatloaf would also appear in films like Burning Bright and Beautiful Boy, and made appearances on shows like the Australian Music Quiz Show, Spicks and Specks, Glee, and WWE Monday Night Raw, where he appeared in the ring with Randy Orton as a guest host to essentially promote his upcoming album, Hang Cool Teddy Bear, before receiving an RKO by Orton as the 62-year-old sold the move like a pro.
"Randy, dude, this is for you! This album rocks, son! This album rocks! How about this one? I gotta do it with Jack Black. I gotta do what Jack Black called Like a Rose. You don't like that? I got Hugh Laurie, I got Cara DeGuardia. Randy, I came out for you. Randy, listen. Hang Cool Teddy Bear, listen to that. Think about that for a second. Hang Cool Teddy Bear, it's for you. John Bon Jovi, Elvis,
I was just 15 and the world. Come on, Randy. What do you think? Theme song. He's gonna do it! He's gonna do it! Yeah!
Look out!
RKO!
He did it!
Meatloaf had been working on this new album since April 2010 with Green Day producer Rob Cavallo. Meatloaf's label Mercury Records tried to get Meat to call this album Bat Out of Hell 4 because having hell in the title helps boost sales. But Meatloaf protested this proposed name by throwing a lamp at the wall in front of Mercury executives and claiming he was sick and tired of hell being in the title for everything, and that it had nothing to do with the theme of the album. On the 19th of April 2010, Meatloaf's 10th studio album, Hang Cool Teddy Bear, was released to the public under Mercury Records. The album would receive mixed reviews from critics and included collaborations with Steve Vai, Jack Black, actor Hugh Laurie, Brian May of Queen, John Bon Jovi, and Justin Hawkins of The Darkness. Despite all of this star power, the album overall sadly underperformed, despite reaching number 3 in Scotland, 4 in Germany and the UK, 5 in New Zealand, 16 in Australia, and 27 in the US. The failing of the album was down to the lack of charting success from the 3 singles, titled Los Angelusa, If I Can't Have You, and Peace on Earth, which all failed to chart. Following the release of Hang Cool Teddy Bear, Meat would tour the album from 2009 through to 2011, where during July, Meatloaf would faint on stage in Pittsburgh after suffering from an asthma attack. Luckily for him, he would shake off the incident as he took to the studio to record his 11th studio album, which happened to coincide with the sale of Meat and Deborah's Spanish-style Californian home in Calabasas for over $3 million, before they relocated to Austin, Texas. During March to May 2011, Meatloaf would appear in Season 11 of The Celebrity Apprentice, hosted by Donald Trump. During this season, Meatloaf represented his chosen charity called the Painted Turtle, known for running a summer camp in Lake Hughes, California, for children who suffer from chronic or life-threatening illnesses. Meatloaf would star alongside rapper Little John, actress Marley Marden, singers Diane Warwick and LaToya Jackson, and country singer John Rich, who ended up winning the competition. Meatloaf would make it all the way to the 12th task, representing Team Backbone, and would raise the third highest amount of money at $204,000. Meatloaf worked well alongside the likes of John Rich and Little John, who were his teammates. However, the most memorable moment of the series came when Meatloaf clashed with another of his teammates, in actor Gary Busey. The altercation occurred when Meatloaf claimed that Gary had stolen the paint that Meat had bought for a challenge out of his own pocket. The argument escalated and Meatloaf was enraged, claiming that Gary was a liar. It turned out in the end, however, that the bag had just been misplaced.
A whole bag of markers.
So you're missing stuff.
Yeah.
That ain't good, dude. You sure all that is actually Gary's?
No. Gary, did you buy this paint right here?
Yeah. Why?
It's gotta be around here. There's another bag.
This is my stencils and all a bunch of the crap I bought right in here. I put a JR on this bag. So this is me. Here's another bag over here. But I think this is me as well.
I tied my bags together. I know mine is mine.
I don't see another bag over here.
Okay!
What's wrong?
Mother!
What's wrong?
I bought those mother sponges. Part of that paint is mine. I'm
sick and tired of you, mother.
No.
That was all mine in my basket.
Bull mother.
No, I've never seen.
Hold on.
You don't want to make you get it. You don't want to start with me.
Meat, don't do it. Don't do it.
Mother, you do not want to with me. You look in my eyes. I am the last person in the world you ever want to with. You understand me? You mother, you look at me.
Don't do it.
You'll be in the hospital in about 4 minutes.
Me, hold on, look.
Take him out of here.
Come on, Gary.
Take him out of here.
This is mine.
Come on, Gary.
It is not yours, you piece of.
Don't engage it. Don't engage.
Calm down.
Don't engage.
Cool. Let's just get your stuff.
You're fine.
You're good, brother.
You're good.
What's yours, Meat? What's yours? It's all right, Meat. It's all right, dude.
I bought sponges. I bought a spray paint. I have my.
We can also go right back down there and grab some more stuff.
But you just don't assume and you ask.
Meat. Look, is this your bag? I might have just found your bag.
Let's just saddle.
It was under a corner.
You pushed me too far.
Does this look like it?
Thank you.
It was under a corner.
Take your spray paint.
Thank you very much.
Shut the up!
No, I can't.
Do your hard work and get out of my face!
I'm not in your face.
I'm going to say something right now.
I got it.
We are in here trying to win for my charities. A bunch of very sick kids in Memphis.
Yes, we are.
This kind of language, energy, and stuff going on here is embarrassing to me.
I agree. I'm sorry.
Can
I apologize
to you. Can we please stop it?
Done.
Thank you.
Meatloaf later did an apology video to Gary and also told Absolute Radio, quote, "It was like kindergarten. You took my paint. It's not what I wanted to say, but that's what came out." Meatloaf also claimed that the producers edited the arguments to make it seem more extravagant and that the sequence happened in different orders and over a larger period of time. Meatloaf would also maintain that Gary did in fact take the paint, but he tried to make him look crazy, while he also revealed that the night before the incident, as Gary had been grinding Meat's gears, his wife Deborah told him not to get too angry and to control himself. Meatloaf would be quite a charitable man and would often take part in fundraising events such as celebrity sports competitions involving golf, soccer, and racing, including the 2005 Toyota Pro Celebrity Race, with Meat finishing 7th out of 12 races, and even taking part in a penalty shootout competition in 2008. On the 30th of September 2011, under Legacy Records this time around, Meatloaf would return to using the word hell in his album titles by releasing his 11th studio album, Hell in a Handbasket, with Meatloaf claiming that he sung through his own eyes for the first time instead of taking on characters. Sadly, once again, the album displayed that the world had just moved on from Meatloaf and weren't interested anymore. And despite reaching number 5 in the UK, 6 in Scotland, and 20 in Australia, the album struggled to sell elsewhere. The album would be heavily panned by critics, and the lead single, All of Me, failed to chart worldwide, with a track recorded with Meat's celebrity apprentice teammates for charity called Stand in the Storm, also failing to make an impact. One interesting thing about the album was the cover artwork, which represented the notion that the world is going to crap and we're just letting it, or in Meatloaf's words, to hell in a handbasket. As Meatloaf claims that the title came from a Civil War reference, as the cover depicts green skulls forming the shape of various countries around the world, and blue skulls representing the ocean, signalling the world being in such a bad state that humans face death and even extinction. As Meatloaf claimed, quote, "The world's gone to hell in a handbasket, and every day that I listen to the news, I think the handbasket is getting bigger." When speaking with Absolute Radio, Meat said, quote, "It's about humanity. It's about the truth. It's about we've lost our humanity and our compassion." Meatloaf would continue by claiming that social media and the internet have a lot to answer for in destroying humanity. The album, according to Meatloaf, was recorded on the road in the Meatloaf tour bus and in various hotels, and as Meatloaf and his band kept on getting noise complaints, he had to resort to recording his own vocals from a closet inside his hotel room. On October 1st, 2011, Meatloaf would kick off his Guilty Pleasure tour of Australia and New Zealand by performing at the MCG in Melbourne for the AFL Grand Final pre-game entertainment before Geelong defeated Collingwood. Australians and AFL fans were extremely excited to welcome the now 64-year-old to the country, and his performance was highly anticipated. However, when the big moment arrived, fans watching live and at home weren't very impressed with him, as his performance highlighted his age and that he had seemingly lost his touch with his 12-minute medley of hit songs like Bat Out of Hell and Hot Patootie being a hot mess, as they were sung out of pitch and out of time with the band. While other critics were quick to judge the 64-year-old for his lack of stage presence, as he chose to stand in one position for the entire performance. With Meatloaf later claiming this was due to suffering from a bad back injury which restricted his movement. The following day, Meatloaf was front and centre on all of the newspapers and TV headlines in Australia, as it went down in the history books for all the wrong reasons, with backlash against the AFL coming in for the pricey $500,000 offered to him for the gig in exchange for a lackluster and underwhelming performance. Meatloaf to Australians had sadly become a laughingstock, as fans struggled to defend his performance, while some critics called it the worst pre-game show of all time. AFL CEO, at the time, Andrew Demetrio, said they didn't realise at the time that Meatloaf might not have been the best choice, as they were unaware that he had suffered a heart attack on stage and passed out in Pittsburgh during the Hang Cool Teddy Bear tour, and if they had have known, they may have went with someone else. While he also said, quote, "I actually think that the pre-match was a bit flat overall, and probably, maybe in part due to the weather as well. It just didn't seem to be as much atmosphere going on before the game, regardless of who was playing. But anyway, Meatloaf gave it his best." Meatloaf would respond to the haters by calling them, quote, "butt smellers and jerks," as he vowed to never return to Australia again, and that he wouldn't recommend any other artist he knows performs for the AFL either. The critics clearly left a sour taste in Meat's mouth when he announced during his next gig that this would be his final tour of New Zealand and Australia, as he thanked his audience for all of their support over the years, but that he just couldn't return again after the nasty media frenzy. However, Meat was said to have sucked it up and put on the best show he knew how in Wollongong just 3 days after the AFL gig. Just 11 days after the controversial pre-game performance, Meatloaf announced to the crowd in Sydney that he blames the audio for the poor performance and that, quote, "I couldn't hear a thing," which, if you watch the performance closely, it's easy to see. Luckily, the remainder of Meatloaf's tour down under was a success, and he received positive feedback. However, his voice obviously wasn't as strong as it once had been in previous years, as his age and his health was beginning to show. That same year, Meatloaf had begun to plan a Christmas album to be titled Hot Holidays, featuring the likes of Reba McEntire and his friend and country music singer, Garth Brooks. However, the album would never make it to production, which, to be honest, is quite a shame, as Meatloaf's voice would have been perfect for Christmas carols, such as Christmas, Baby Please Come Home. From 2012 through to 2016, Meatloaf began his Mad Mad World tour to promote his album, Hell in a Handbasket, as well as the in-concert tour, which would ultimately be his very last. During these years, Meatloaf featured in a number of films, including Stage Fright, The Moment, and a recording of his voice was used in the adult animation film Sausage Party. While he also appeared on TV shows like Elementary, Fairly Legal, and as part of the main cast for the paranormal series Ghost Wars. Meatloaf had well and truly passed over 60 movie appearances by this point, and often liked to boast about the movies he was in, taking pride in the fact that he had been in so many. Meatloaf absolutely loved acting, and when he had free time, he would study it all the time, as he even took coaching sessions, classes, and actor training to continue to improve his skills to keep up with the ever-evolving industry. Meatloaf always had a great work ethic and applied 110% to everything he did, as he told Ken Sharp, quote, "I never stop working. If you think I'm not working, I'm working. I'm constantly creating something. In my off period, when I was home, I listened to all 18 shows we did last time in Vegas, probably 3 times. Listening back, changing things, and moving things around, and making adjustments to make the show better. The only way to do that is to constantly work on it. You have to keep working. If you don't work on something, it's not gonna improve, and it's not gonna get better." Meanwhile, Jim Steinman, since 2012, had been collaborating with Monty Python's Terry Jones on a metal version of The Nutcracker, while on the 14th of June 2012, Jim Steinman would finally be recognised for his incredible songwriting ability, as he would be inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame before being inducted in 2016 into the Long Island Music Hall of Fame. Then, during February 2016, it was announced that Meatloaf and Jim Steinman were set to team up once again for what would ultimately become both men's final albums of their careers and their lifetimes. Meat and Jim had been working on concepts for the album as early back as October 2012, when Meatloaf announced on the Jonathan Ross Show during April 2013, that, quote, "We've been communicating back and forth for the last 6 months, every day by email. We've cut 3 tracks, we're getting ready to cut 3 more, and then we'll hopefully cut 3 with Steinman." Set to be an album that features just a few of Steinman's written songs, and that was set for release in late 2014, plans would change when Meat would instead invite Jim to fully collaborate on the album with him. So during 2016, under Caroline Records, they would produce the album that would go on to be called Braver Than We Are, opting to move away from the Bat Out of Hell title altogether. All 10 tracks for the new album were fully or partly written by Jim, with producer Paul Crook blown away by Jim's songwriting ability, as he said, quote, "Although there's been Bat 1, Bat 2 and Bat 3 completed, I believe this is actually Bat 3. I'm gonna say that. I might get myself in trouble, but I'm gonna say that." Jim's involvement on this record is so intense. The songs, the way they run together, and the narrative of the record. Nothing has been this cohesive since Bat 1. On the 9th of September 2016, Meatloaf would release his 12th and final studio album, fittingly alongside the man he started his journey with, Jim Steinman, calling the album Braver Than We Are. As the album cover artwork by Julie Bell features Jim and Meatloaf standing face to face with the four horsemen of the apocalypse, who instead of riding horses, can be seen riding motorcycles, as they emerge from a plume of dust or smoke. Considering Meatloaf's time had well and truly passed as a hitmaker, the now 68-year-old would be actually well received by critics for once, and despite the album's success being very brief, it did happen to peak at number 3 in New Zealand, 4 in the UK, 17 in Australia, and 31 in the US. Both singles, however, titled Going All the Way and Speaking in Tongues, failed to chart worldwide, with Speaking in Tongues becoming the final single ever to be released by Meatloaf. The reason there were no albums after Braver Than We Are was due to the fact that he started landing more TV and movie roles, and he was physically breaking down and unable to run around on stage like he used to. On the 16th of June 2016, on his in-concert tour in Edmonton, Canada, with only 9 minutes of his show remaining, Meatloaf collapsed on stage after previously suffering from the flu, severe dehydration, and was exhausted after performing for a total of 45 minutes. Meatloaf also collapsed while hitting a high note during the song I'd Do Anything for Love. Realizing he was collapsing and losing balance, Meatloaf attempted to sit down on stage, but slowly slumped to the stage floor and dropped the microphone, as a fellow bandmate, along with medical staff, ran onto stage to provide aid. Meatloaf was then taken to hospital, and the remainder of the show had to be cancelled. Just days earlier, Meatloaf had cancelled 2 shows in Regina and Calgary in Canada due to having the flu, and perhaps he returned too soon. As he told Dan Rava in 2016 that he wanted to cancel the Edmonton show 2 shows earlier, but his wife Deborah, who was from Edmonton, was coming up to watch him perform and jokingly said to him, quote, "If you cancel Edmonton, I'm going to kill you." On this tour, some fans and critics even criticised Meatloaf as they thought he was lip-syncing, as his vocals continued to play after he collapsed. However, he later confirmed that, like many other artists, he was using a double track that plays along with him as he sings. In order to look after his health, with the encouragement of his wife Deborah, Meatloaf would receive acupuncture and physical therapy, as well as working with a personal trainer for 4 days a week for an hour and a half each session. However, stalling these sessions would be Meatloaf's persisting back problems. Meatloaf's health concerns only grew sadly during 2016, as the now 69-year-old told Loose Women that he doesn't drink or do drugs anymore, but suffers quite severely from a pinched nerve in his back, comparing the pain he feels to being stabbed in the back with a knife, explaining to the panel that the pain he felt when he stands up for longer than 5 minutes is excruciating and it now prevents him from performing live. Meatloaf also told Loose Women that he was suffering from a swollen tongue that affected the way he spoke and sung. During November 2016, Meatloaf couldn't take his back pain any longer and would be taken to hospital for emergency back surgery and spinal fusion, due to a cyst that had been pinching his nerves, creating excruciating pain. While he would also receive a knee replacement and began to lose his balance and would often run into tables and doors, falling over and hurting himself at home. All of these health concerns would be accompanied by his 19 concussions over his lifetime, as well as heart surgery, asthma attacks, and on-stage collapses. As it was now clear to see, it wasn't looking good for Meatloaf's health. Meatloaf would wrap up his in-concert tour during July 2016 in Canada, before returning home to focus on his own family and his own personal health. with Meatloaf's back troubles at this point essentially ending his touring career. The Neverland Express would go on to perform as the backing band for American Idol winner Caleb Johnson, who took out the 13th season of the music contest during 2014, and today performs in the style of Meatloaf, attempting to carry on his legacy. Then, during February 2017, after being in the pipeline since the 70s, Jim Steinman's vision to bring Bat Out of Hell to the theatre scene and turn it into a musical would become a reality when Bat Out of Hell the musical debuted at the Manchester Opera House in Manchester, England. The musical, of course, was centred around the music from Bat Out of Hell and Bat Out of Hell 2, as well as the plot from Steinman's original Neverland and Peter Pan futuristic musical from the 70s, as Meatloaf was very proud of Jim for finally achieving his dream. The musical would win a number of awards, including Best Musical at the 2017 Evening Standard Theatre Awards, with the musical running from 2017 through to 2020, with multiple productions in a range of countries taking place, including Germany, the US, UK, Australia, and Canada. Sadly, however, due to the COVID pandemic during 2020, further shows were cancelled. However, Jim's inability to continue to work on his own show also contributed as his health continued to decline, even suffering from a stroke later that year. The second stroke in his lifetime since his first in 2004. Meatloaf, on the other hand, was also facing his own health battles, and by 2019, the now 71-year-old was using a cane and a wheelchair to get around at times, while in May 2019, at the 14th annual Dallas, Texas Frightmare Weekend, which was a horror-themed media event run by the Hyatt Motel, Meatloaf would fall off stage during an interview, breaking his clavicle, as Meat and Deborah decided to sue Hyatt and the Frightmare over this incident. In January 2020, the 72-year-old Meatloaf was even asked by the media if he was now too old to make a comeback, as Meat told the Mirror, quote, "I'm not old. I've got songs for another record, and I'm reading a script." And just a month later, Meat announced he was planning on working on a 13th studio album. However, Meat's plans would change when he was rocked by some terrible news, when on the 19th of April 2021, Meatloaf's good friend and collaborator, Jim Steinman, sadly passed away from kidney failure while in hospital in Danbury, Connecticut, at the age of 73, just a year older than Meatloaf. Meatloaf, who was saddened by the news, reacted publicly to his friend's death by stating, quote, "We didn't know each other. We were each other." Despite Jim living alone and keeping to himself in his home in Ridgefield, Connecticut, over the years, tributes would flow in from the music industry, claiming he was one of the greatest producers of all time and highly influential on the music we hear today. During these semi-retirement years, to keep himself entertained, Meatloaf continued to engage in his favourite hobbies, such as collecting all sorts of rubber duck toys, sports memorabilia, pop art, and movie posters, while he also claimed that he liked to learn something new every day to keep his mind active. Meatloaf would also cheer on the New York Yankees in baseball and his favourite English football team, Hartlepool United FC. While surprisingly, he also enjoyed playing video games on his PC, stating, quote, "At night, I sit at my computer and play strategy games. I don't remember the names. One is about knights and one is about gladiators." Meatloaf would also eat more vegetarian options for his personal health around this time, and claimed he didn't listen to any modern music as it was basically rubbish and uninspiring. Meatloaf would, however, cause quite a few controversies during his last remaining years, and would come under unfair scrutiny for his own personal beliefs, such as climate change denial, as Meatloaf claimed when speaking to Daily Mail, quote, "I feel for that Greta. She has been brainwashed into thinking that there is climate change, and there isn't. She hasn't done anything wrong, but she's been forced into thinking that what she is saying is true." The mainstream media would also target Meatloaf for his support of Donald Trump during his presidency, despite later claiming he didn't fully support him in his attempt to run for president again in 2020. During COVID, Meatloaf also criticised lockdowns, mask mandates, and social distancing, claiming that those enforcing these rules were Nazis and power-hungry, while also stating, quote, "I hug people in the middle of COVID. I understood stopping life for a little while, but they cannot continue to stop life because of politics. If I die, I die, but I'm not going to be controlled." Around 6 months later, during November 2021, Meatloaf, who was now living in Brentwood, Tennessee, with his now second wife Deborah, would announce once again that work would continue on his next album. However, this would sadly never come to fruition, when on the 20th of January 2022, the world would be saddened to hear of the news that the rock and roll icon, Meatloaf, had passed away at the age of 74 in Nashville, Tennessee, just 9 months after Jim Steinman. As suddenly, the dynamic duo, known for bringing us the masterpiece that is Bat Out of Hell, were both gone within the space of a year. No official cause of death was released to the public. However, Meatloaf had reportedly been suffering from flu-like symptoms leading up to his death, which some media outlets, such as TMZ, reported as COVID-19 without having the official word from the family. However, a post on Instagram from one of Meat's daughters did read, "We are not sick, but we have too many friends and family testing positive right now. Positive, but doing okay."
But first, some breaking news. Very sad news, in fact. The American singer and actor Meatloaf, whose hits, of course, included Bat Out of Hell, has died at the age of 74. Now, that is according to a statement on his official Facebook page, which reads thus, "Our hearts are broken to announce that the incomparable Meatloaf passed away tonight with his friend Deborah by his side. Daughters Pearl and Amanda and close friends have been with him throughout the last 24 hours. The statement continues, "His amazing career spanned 6 decades that saw him sell over 100 million albums worldwide and star in over 65 movies. Bat Out of Hell remains one of the top 10 selling albums of all time."
Meat's daughters, wife and family all rushed to be by his side with him in hospital, remaining with him until his final breath, with Amanda claiming she was very grateful to share those last moments with her family and her father, while also telling People magazine, quote, "As soon as we could, we just went to his bedside at the hospital and just sat with him and held his hand." Sadly, Meatloaf would leave behind his wife Deborah, his adopted daughter Pearl, his only biological daughter Amanda, and his now grandson, Revel, with Amanda left distraught at the fact that her father didn't get the chance to walk her down the aisle before he passed, after she recently became engaged. While Deborah spoke to People magazine claiming, quote, "I want to say thank you to everyone for the support during the most difficult time of my life. The grief I feel over the loss of my husband is gut-wrenching. I was lying close to Michael when he took his last breath, and my sadness is beyond words." Often one to steer clear of the media, Deborah also shed light on their relationship when she told People, quote, "For me, it was always about him. From the day we met, He was my world, and I loved him. There wasn't a day that went by that we didn't tell each other how much we loved them. Not a day that we didn't hug each other. Some of my fondest memories will always be about how we so often laughed, and how we brought out the silliness and playfulness in each other. Michael was a hugger, such a physically affectionate and kind man, and I'm grateful that he brought out those traits in me. I waited until later in life to get married, because I was waiting for the right man. And oh boy, was he ever the right man for me. I realized how blessed I am to have shared my life with such an incredible person. He didn't hesitate to let me know how much I was appreciated, and often sweetly told me, "You're a good wife." I will miss hearing that. Pearl would also take to Instagram, posting pictures of her with her dad and their family, as she said, quote, "I love you always, no matter what. I love you with my whole heart. We got you, forever." Amanda also posted similar images and wrote, quote, "I love you, Daddy, always and forever." A very private funeral service would be held in Meatloaf's honour. However, he would be cremated, with Deborah holding on to his ashes. Tributes would flow in from fans on social media, and the likes of Brian May, Donald Trump, Alice Cooper, Paul Stanley, Boy George, Travis Tritt, Bonnie Tyler, Cher, and his former Rocky Horror castmate, Nell Campbell. Sadly, however, on the other hand, due to his beliefs regarding COVID-19, the mainstream media platforms refused to let him rest and attempted to unfairly pile criticism on him just for having a differing opinion, which sadly has tarnished his image somewhat. On the 12th of June 2024, Meatloaf's daughter Amanda would announce via social media that the girl's mother and Meatloaf's ex-wife, Leslie Gay Edmonds, had passed away at home, age 73, on the 2nd of June 2024. As Amanda wrote, quote, "Leslie was a woman of many great talents, big passions, and endless creativity. Her love for and contribution to music and the music industry was a strong and continuous thread throughout her life. In addition to her love of music, Leslie was a revered and accomplished cook. She was artistic, with a gentle, generous, and mischievous spirit. Today, Amanda Aday is 43 years old and continues to act and share her love for cooking via her YouTube channel. She also lives in Lexington, Kentucky with her husband David Napier, who is an African-American musician who goes by the stage name Big Chill and plays in the band Driftwood Gypsy. Meanwhile, Pearl Aday is 49 years old and remains married to Anthrax guitarist Scott Ian since 2011. She continues to work as a musician under her stage name of Pearl, and also features on a range of tracks with artists like Ace Frehley and Armored Saint. Meatloaf was said to have gotten along well with Scott Ian and got to know him over the years, and was lucky enough to be alive to witness the birth of his first and only grandchild, named Revel Young Ian, who would often refer to his beloved granddad as Papa Meat. Today, Meatloaf's legacy lives on, with he and Jim Steinman's incredible music being featured in films and TV shows, with the likes of Bat Out of Hell, I'd Do Anything for Love, and You Took the Words Right Out of My Mouth, being some of the most popular and circulated tracks on radio and TV today. Meatloaf has also had a massive impact on artists like Jack Black, Adam Lambert, Florence and the Machine, The Killers, and even Guns N' Roses, who have and continue to draw inspiration from his music. Today, 3 years on from Meatloaf's death, he currently has around 3.5 million monthly listeners on Spotify, while his career achievements are what some musicians could only dream of aspiring to, as he has had over 65 appearances in films, over 40 appearances on TV shows. He has performed over 30 live tours, won a Grammy, sold over 100 million albums across the world, recording 12 studio albums during that time, with one of those reaching number one in the US, being of course Bat Out of Hell 2, and having I'd Do Anything for Love also reaching the top spot in the US. While he couldn't have done it all without the expertise, talent and songwriting ability of the late great Jim Steinman, Meatloaf in his own right was a larger-than-life talent unlike any other, with his stage presence, giving his all for his fans, sweating profusely and passing out due to the energy that he put into each and every one of his performances, thrusting his large frame around the stage like a rag doll. While his unique monster of a voice and his emotional and passionate delivery of every single line, as if it came straight from the heart, simply made him unforgettable. Not to mention the kind and charitable man he was, despite battling through so many tough times in his own life, and even making a family of his own. Meatloaf would overcome drug addiction, severe anxiety and depression, his fear of fame, being dropped by his label, the loss of his mother, the abuse at the hands of his father, and the divorce from his first wife. And he did the impossible, resurrecting his career during the 90s with Bat 2, when his career looked dead and buried. Meatloaf sure as hell made something of himself and left a lasting legacy that will live on forever. I feel, however, there's just one piece of the puzzle left to fulfill this legacy, and that includes Meatloaf, along with Jim Steinman, being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which hopefully becomes a reality in the near future for these two very deserving rock and roll legends. And that wraps up this episode of Lyrics of Their Life podcast. Thank you all for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed the show. If this is your first time tuning into our show, don't forget to hit the follow or subscribe button so you don't miss our future episodes. And if you're really enjoying the show, a quick rating or review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts goes a long way in helping us to grow. If you would like to follow the podcast, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, X, and TikTok at Lyrics of Their Life Podcast, or on our website at lyricsoftheirlife.com for updates and more. If you'd like to support the podcast further and help keep episodes like this coming, you can head over to my Patreon at patreon.com/lyricsoftheirlifepodcast, or you can buy me a coffee over at buymeacoffee.com/lyricsoflifepod. Every bit of support means the world to me and helps make episodes like this one possible. Whether you're a long-time listener or just discovering the show for the first time, thank you for being here and supporting the show in whatever form that comes in. Thanks again for listening. I'm your host, Adam Hampton, and this is Lyrics of Their Life.